Sometimes there are lessons that you would think that you really wouldn't have to preach very often. But the way that our world has changed in the last few years have made some topics much more pertinent and much more important. And one of those topics is the one that we are going to be discussing this morning, and that is, if you abide in my word. You would think that anyone who said, I am a Christian, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, would mean by that they were going to be in submission to him, that they were going to do what he was going to tell them to do. But unfortunately, today's culture has drastically changed that. People say Jesus is my Lord, but they have changed Jesus into what they want him to be. They put words in his mouth that he has never said. They malign his apostles and the teachings that are elsewhere found in the New Testament scriptures. And yet they call themselves Christians. And we find ourselves more and more and further out of the mainstream, not only of American worldliness, but even American religious people. There's no longer a similarity between those of us who hold to the truth as Jesus reveals here, and what's being taught and what's being seen and what's being expected and what people view as individuals. This evening, I'm going to be preaching on abortion. It's not a subject I like to preach on. I've preached on it, I think, maybe five or six times in my preaching life. But so many things have happened this week. It's incredible what has happened this week. What pushed me over was last night when the head of the Democratic reelection campaign stated, we need to push out all Democrats who believe that abortion is right. We need to get rid of them all. I'm sorry, who think that it's wrong. We need to get rid of all Democrats in the House, in the Senate, and all over the country who believe that abortion is wrong. And I shook my head and I thought, where are we going? Why would they say something like, this wasn't just a normal person. This was a very important person in the Democratic Party, and it was the headline in the news yesterday. And I thought to myself, if that's where we're heading, to where even the parties are going to purge people who believe that it's wrong to kill an unborn child, then this is a topic we need to discuss and we need to reevaluate as far as the scriptures are concerned, because what we're hearing in the world today is very terrible. And it's just shocking to me. It just seems like the headlines every day are more and more just completely what you would never even have imagined or dreamed could possibly be. But to actually purge from the government anyone who thinks that abortion is wrong, that's a frightening thing. Because once they do that, then they're going to start wanting to purge all the people that are in other walks of life who believe that it's wrong. And that's where persecution begins. So I want to begin this morning. I want to kind of lay a foundation. And then this evening, we're going to talk a little more about it. But this morning, we just want to remember that Jesus speaking to those Jews who believed in him, it wasn't enough for them to believe. They believed in him. But Jesus gives a conditional statement. If you abide in my word, you are truly, or you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, what the Lord is saying here, whether we see it or not, is that the scriptures contain the truth. When we abide in the scriptures, then we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Only what is the scriptures is the truth. Not what people say about the scriptures, not what the people in the world view as scriptural concepts or moral concepts or things that are right or things that are wrong. Jesus makes it very clear. If I said it and you do it, you are my disciple indeed. If I said it and you believe it, you are my disciple indeed. If I said it and you don't do it, you don't believe it, you will not practice it, then you are not my disciple. Now, these are the Lord's words. These are not my words. These are not the words of the, quote, Church of Christ, or the words of conservative-minded people. These are the words of Jesus himself. And we don't have the right to go through the scriptures and say in our own hearts, I'm not going to believe this, or at least I'm not going to preach this, or I'm not going to use this as a part of my discussions with people. I'm not going to talk about abortion. I'm not going to talk about homosexuality. I'm not going to talk about the death penalty. I'm not going to talk about these things because these are things that are going through an evolution of thinking, not only in, again, the immorally ungodly people of this culture, but also of the religious people in this culture. There were some religious people this week saying, we don't agree with what they're doing in Alabama. In Alabama, they have passed a law that says you cannot have an abortion. If it's rape, if it's incest, it doesn't matter. That child is innocent. And I'm thinking in my own heart, amen. But a lot of people are coming out this week saying, we don't agree with that. We think that's too stringent. We think that a woman should have the right to abort or kill her baby as a result of these things. And again, we'll talk about that more this evening, but I wanted you to get the context of why we're talking about this morning. There are things happening in the culture. They can't happen to us. We can't make those kinds of moral judgments. Jesus has already made them. And you say, well, Jesus never said anything about that. Yes, but his apostles did. And they certainly referenced many passages, even in the Old Covenant, where God revealed his will on these things, and Jesus has validated and even strengthened them. So there's a clear boundary. If we abide, if we live, if we remain within the commands and expectations of Jesus, then he sees us as a disciple. If I doubt, if I'm skeptical, if I'm afraid, if I am rebellious, if I don't agree, then I have two choices. If Jesus is Lord, we're going to see this in the next verse. Matter of fact, let's just go ahead and look at that. No, that's not the one I want. Let's cite the verse and then we'll come back to it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I say? And that's a very important point. Not so much with the things we agree with Jesus on, not so much the things that our culture agrees with Jesus on, not so much those things that are simple and easy and everybody agrees with this. Yes, I believe God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's certainly something Jesus said, and I agree with that. But I also agree with him on everything else he said, because that's what it means to be the Lord. Now, this next passage of Scripture is one we've cited many times. And it describes the word abide again. Jesus said, if you abide in my word. Now, John says, whoever transgresses or goes onward or goes beyond and will not abide or remain or stay or submit or agree with the teachings of Christ or the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, I don't know how God could have made it any clearer or any easier. If there's anything in the Scriptures I don't agree with, I have to repent. If there's anything in the Scriptures that I don't like or that I don't think is appropriate or that I'm not going to teach, then to that degree, I don't have God. And if I bring that teaching to someone else, verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. So if I get up and I start preaching, here's what the Scriptures say, but we need to realize that things are different today. Kind of like the Hiscox manual, Baptist manual, states that back in the first century, baptism was for remission of sins, but today it's different. And you're thinking, how's it different? It's not different at all. The only thing different is you're saying it's different. It's the same. Nothing changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I took some time and I went ahead and pulled out a couple of different translations so you could see the different ways that they look at this. And so everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide, everyone who goes too far and does not abide, whoever goes onward and abides not, whoever transgresses and does not abide, pretty simple. We understand what a transgression is. We know what a trespass is. We know what going on ahead means. We know what going too far means. We know what it means when there's a line and I cross the line. So the teachings of Christ are similar to a boundary. They are similar to walls and a door. We are abiding in the building at this moment. If we go onward and we walk out the door, we are no longer abiding in the building. Well, what are the walls and what are the doors in Jesus' teaching? Well, the walls and the doors are the things he approves of are doors that I can go through. I go through the door of baptism. I go through the door of repentance. I go through the door of worship because Jesus has opened those doors for us. But he's also closed doors to us. We don't circumcise. We don't keep Sabbaths. We don't do things that the Lord has told us not to do. So it's very simple. And again, you would think everybody would understand this, and you would think that anybody who does this would be respected, but that's not how it is today. And as I said a moment ago, I believe persecution is just right over the horizon. It's already happening in the political realm, and the next step is the everyday individuals who take a stand with these people. And we're seeing this on the colleges right now, which is another big problem that we're seeing today, is that the colleges are allowing these people who are opposed to abortion or who are opposed to homosexuality those people who are fighting for those things, fighting for abortion, to mistreat those who are trying to stand against it. So somebody goes on the college, somebody goes to an abortion clinic, holds up a sign, says it's wrong, somebody comes up and punches them in the nose, and nobody wants to do anything because they shouldn't have been there doing that anyway. That's not the world we want to live in, because that's going to happen to us at some point in the future. So Jesus wants us to understand. I thought of an illustration. I was reading in my Bible this week, and I read this story, and it struck me as being a good one, so I wanted to share it with us this evening. The king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Build yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there anywhere. It shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head." So he's to dwell in Jerusalem. There's walls in Jerusalem, there's gates in Jerusalem, there's a brook. You have to cross a brook to leave Jerusalem. If you cross that brook, you will die. If you cross the teachings of Jesus, you will not have God. If you do not abide in his word, you are not his disciple, you don't know the truth, and you're still in bondage to sin. So it's very easy, and when this individual went ahead and did it, in the next verse, all of Saul the Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and had come back. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, 'Know for certain on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die?' And you said to me, 'The word I have heard is good.' Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you?" Now, that's pretty simple. And that's what Jesus did. Except Jesus didn't do it with a physical location. He did it with our doctrinal truths that we uphold. He did it with our moral, the things that are right, the things that are wrong, the things that are good, the things that are evil. You remember the passage in Isaiah in chapter 5, "Woe unto those who call evil good and good evil. Woe unto those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. And woe unto those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And yet we live in such a culture today. And we have to take a stand, even if it puts us into a situation where there's a target on our back and we're going to be maligned. And they won't malign us for being Christians. They'll malign us for, they'll use other terms. But it's the same thing. We have to take a stand on what's right. In Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them." Now, this is Shimei staying within the boundaries of Jerusalem. We are staying within what Jesus teaches, what he tells us, the commands that he gives us, the teachings that he gives us, the things that are right, the things that are wrong, the things that are good, the things that are evil, the things that are darkness, the things that are light. I have to agree with him. It doesn't matter what the politics are. It doesn't matter what the morality is. It doesn't matter how the world looks at these things. Their views are going to be like the surge of the sea. What matters is, what did the Lord say, and am I doing them or not? Why on the judgment day Jesus is going to be blasted, just like Solomon did with Shimei. When I'm baptized into Christ, I make the good confession. I make that oath that Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going to be in covenant with God, and I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? All the Lord has to do is find one thing. Verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he's like. He's like a man building a home or house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. What's the rock? The rock is the words of Jesus and my submission to them. If I'm submissive to the words of Jesus, that's what he says in verse 47. Whoever comes to me hears my sayings and does them. Well, not everything Jesus says that we hear we have to do. Some we have to believe. Some we have to practice. But regardless, whatever he says, if we abide in his word, we are his disciples indeed. If we don't abide in his word, then we are not his disciples indeed. And he goes on to say in verse 49, he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you see, my relationship with God is cemented by my relationship to Jesus' commandments and by my relationships to the teachings that Jesus has given to us. And if I will not stand with them for whatever reason, I don't have God. And I'm not a Christian. I can call myself a Christian, but if I don't do the things which the Lord has said, he's going to ask me on the judgment day, you're a hypocrite, just like Shimei. I made you swear an oath that you wouldn't leave Jerusalem, but you left anyway. Now I have to put you to death. What do you have to say for yourself? And the Lord said the same thing. If you abide in my word, you are my disciple, but you didn't abide in my word here. You didn't. You allowed peer pressure. You allowed the cares and concerns of the world, or your fear of persecution, or your desire to seem important or to seem logical to the world instead of what the scriptures say. You see, sometimes the world is out of step. And we have to become out of step. Even if it's politically incorrect, even if it is something that makes everyone at work or everyone around us, how can you call yourself a Christian and say what you say about homosexuality? Now, that's what we're hearing today. Jesus was loving. He was tolerant. You're not loving or tolerant. Well, wait a minute, but Paul said in Romans, well, who cares what Paul said? Who cares what the scriptures say? What matters is our perception of Jesus. They create fables. And then as they create these fables, they expect us to follow their fables. And when we refuse to do so, then that's when the problem's going to arise. But we have to make this decision. Well, what about the apostles? Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now you remember what he said? How do we want to be a true disciple? We abide in his word. Well, what is his word? Well, he goes on to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You remember Jesus told them, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Those people who say that only the words of Jesus are vital or important to us today lose sight of the fact that it was apostles and prophets who actually wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and included those things. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have that. But Paul makes it about as clear as it can be made when he says, if you think you're spiritual, if you think you're spiritually minded, if you think you're a prophet, you must acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. So what Paul wrote about women, what Paul wrote about husbands being head over the wife, what Paul wrote about homosexuality being an ungodly and immoral thing, what Paul wrote about without natural affection that would apply to people who can kill their unborn child regardless of how that child was conceived, those are the commandments of the Lord. And if people are going to purge because we stand with the Lord, that's what persecution is. Blessed are you when men persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, when I say I agree with Paul and I get persecuted for it, then I'm right in the middle of Matthew 5 there. Blessed are you when they speak evil of you. And I have to do that. And we're going to have to be prepared because these are litmus tests now, not simply for whether I'm a Christian or not, but much, much more in the culture that we're dealing with today. So if it's in the scriptures, we're expected to begin the work of making it a part of our life. If it is forbidden in the Scriptures, we're expected to remove it and repent. If it is taught in the Scriptures, we are expected to believe it, submit to it, and make it a conviction. Make it a core conviction. This is right. That's what a Christian does. A Christian stands on the Scriptures. He doesn't care what the world says. He doesn't care what direction the world is going in. And he doesn't care what the cost will be. We have become very lax in some respects because we haven't had persecution and we haven't had to worry about persecution, and so we haven't built up those muscles. And now's the time we're going to have to do that. Jesus said, "He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me." How can we deal with that? With Paul's words. Paul is not a chauvinist. Paul is not an individual who is afraid of homosexuals. He is not an individual who was a victim of his culture. He is an inspired preacher of the Scriptures. If I hear him, I hear Jesus. If I reject him, I reject Jesus. And if I reject Jesus, I reject God. That's what John said too. Whosoever goeth onward and abides not in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Which teachings? All the teachings. How many teachings do I have to reject in order to be guilty of that verse? Oh, just one. How many things does the Lord have to say and I say I'm not going to do them before the Lord says, "We have a problem, Alan. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." You can't make the kinds of distinctions that denominations are making today, that somehow Jesus is loving and kind and compassionate, but Paul, we just can't accept his words. We can't accept what Paul said here. He certainly doesn't portray Jesus' demeanor. How can that be? How can that be? Did Jesus send Paul? Yes, he did. Whoever receives whoever I send receives me. First Luke chapter 10 again. If they reject you, they reject me. You see, we're dealing with the fabric of inspiration. Inspiration didn't just start with Jesus and end with Jesus. It started with Jesus and the apostles that he promised would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who is in you. When Paul wrote what he wrote it because the Holy Spirit told him to write it. He makes that very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he says, "These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words." So we don't have the luxury. It's a package. Matthew to Revelation, it's a package. It's all the teachings of Christ. If we hear them, we hear him. If we hear him, we hear God. If we reject them, we reject Jesus. If we reject them and reject Jesus, we reject God. It's just a mind game. It's just an attempt to undermine what the Scriptures actually say. Do we believe that? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And do we believe him when he said that he sent his apostles out to teach us everything that we are to observe? And that he will be with us always if we keep the words that he has written and that he has sent his apostles, that he has sent his apostles to write for us? In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. Yes, the apostles have written some very narrow things, narrow-minded things. Things that make us look like we're narrow-minded. Things that make us look like we are not compassionate or not loving. When we don't kowtow or we don't succumb to the teachings of those individuals who have changed their view of compassion to call evil good and good evil. And that's where we are right now when we say that it's better for a woman to be able to kill an unborn child than it is for that woman to have that child if she doesn't want it. And somehow that makes us bad people if we disagree with that. And we have to make a decision whether or not we are going to stand with the Lord. Now, for most of us here this morning, I don't think this is a hard decision, but I really don't know anymore. I'm so shocked at what I'm seeing in the world today, and I know that sometimes Christians think politically as well as scripturally, and that's scary to me. When we can put our politics and our religion somehow on an equality and somehow think that somehow they're the same when they're not at all. Scripture trumps politics. Scripture trumps everything. Scripture trumps what my mother and father taught me. They trump what the world is teaching today. They would even trump law if they make a law that says you can't say anything negative against homosexuals or homosexual marriage, and if you do, we're going to punish you. What are we going to do? Peter said we must obey God rather than men. Now, it looks real good in Acts there where they're doing it, but what about us? Are we going to be able to do that? Are we going to be able to take a stand? Are we going to be persecuted? Are we going to lose our church building? There was an article this last week I was reading about that, about how right now there's a move in Congress being pushed that would remove all ability of religious organizations to have any say over their buildings regarding the use of homosexuality or regarding the use of abortion. And that if you're a religious clinic, you have to offer abortion. You can't use religious grounds. And so what's going to happen then? What's going to happen to the situation when we're told you're a church, you have a building, you must open it up to homosexuals. You must allow them to use your building just like everyone else. And what are we going to do then? Well, we may have to sell our building. Right now, we have it structurally set up so that we don't use it for those things, so nobody uses it for those things. But that could be swept away. And if it is, then we may have to make some subtle changes. Like it's no longer scripturally expedient to have a church building. It's not worth having one because we're being told how we have to use it. Now, I don't know if we're going to go there or not. I just know this. As God's children, we need to be ready to stand with Him, to enter into the narrow gate, and to realize that that wide gate used to be very different from the way it is now, but now the wide gate is including things that are crucial that we take a stand against. We have to be against homosexuality, homosexual marriage. We have to be against abortion and the killing of unborn children. We have to be against those things because the scriptures call them murder and call them an abomination. We have to be opposed to them. We don't have any choice. That's part of the narrow gate. Now, who would have ever thought it was going to be part of the narrow gate? Just 5 or 10 years ago, we wouldn't be preaching a lesson like this. We wouldn't be making these kind of applications because this world was not like that. That's not the world I grew up in. It's not the world most of us grew up in. But it's the world we're in now. And these applications that we have used so long to talk about baptism, to talk about instrumental music, to talk about the Church of Christ versus denominations, to talk about the Pope, and now we're having to use them to talk about the murder of unborn children. And we're having to talk about them, about homosexuality, and about things that used to be clear and weren't in here, but they're in here now. And we have to be there. In Jeremiah 6, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is. Well, that's what's in the scriptures. That's what's in the scriptures. And when I don't agree with the scriptures, when I find myself troubled by something Paul wrote, or I find myself troubled by something that Jesus said, or I find myself troubled by something that's in the old covenant that makes very clear how God feels about something, when that happens to me, I've got to shake my head and I've got to realize that evil companionship is corrupting good morals. And that's what's happening in our political realm right now, and it's what's happening in the denominational realm right now, and I'm afraid that it's starting to impinge on the way Christians are thinking. And I haven't seen any signs of it yet, but I don't wait to see signs of it. We need to preach on these things now while it's critical and while it's important. Stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But what are people saying today? We're not going to walk in that. Also, I set watchmen over you. Well, that's what Paul is. Paul is like this watchman. I set watchmen over you. Say, listen to the sound of the trumpet. Paul's blowing the trumpet. Don't do this. Don't believe this. Don't act like this. And people are saying, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to listen to that. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. We go to the scriptures to find out how to direct our steps. We don't go to the scriptures to direct the scriptures to match our steps. That's completely backwards, and it will never work that way. A few more illustrations. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Brethren, that's worked so well for us all these years with the teachings of the denominations, with their modifications and changes, with their creed books and their traditions. And as Jesus points out in Matthew chapter 7, that we make void the word of God with the traditions of men. That's worked so well for the denominations, but now it's going to have to work for our politics, and it's going to have to work for our laws. We're even going to have to start judging American laws based on trusting the Lord with all our heart and not leaning on our own understanding. And we're going to have to start judging the moral standards, just like we have our entertainment and about these shows that we watch and the influences that people are trying to lead. Now we have to worry about political speeches. Now we have to worry about talk radio. And what are these people doing? Are they undermining our faith? Are they undermining and causing us to lean on our own understanding? And it's just, again, the world has shifted significantly enough that now we have a whole new threat that wasn't there before. And that whole new threat, we need to take it very, very seriously. The Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Now, that's the old law, and I didn't put it up there. It should be in the title, another illustration. This is an illustration of how God wants us to see. If this was true of Moses' law, how much more the law of Christ? If the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day with the law of Moses, how much more the law of Christ? How much respect do we have for Jesus? How much respect do we have for his apostles? And I hope that all of us can agree, as we always have, absolute respect. Exclusive. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what the Congress says. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I care what, and I'm going to judge their words by the scriptures. If the president is quoting or using scriptural principles, I'm going to applaud him, even if everyone else hates him. If he's not, I'm going to disagree with him, even if everyone else agrees with him. When the Congress comes up with a law, if that law is based on the scriptures, on the statutes of the Lord, then I'm going to respect that law. But if that law is not based on scripture, then I don't care. I'm going to stay with the scriptures. And that's what got the Christians killed in the first century. The political realm changed, just like it is today. Politics changed. And the Caesar came out with, I don't like Jesus being a king on an equality with me. Let's make our citizens choose. Am I their king? Or is Jesus their king? I'm sure those Christians saw this coming, just like we're seeing things coming today. And I'm sure that they were shocked because they were patriotic. They were Romans 14 people, just like we are. We love this country more than anyone else, and we want this country to succeed. We want lawgiver or lawbreakers to be punished, and we want to be law keepers, and we want to stand with our government, and we want to do everything we can. But now we're watching the government beginning to shift and change course. And it's frightening, it's scary, because what they hate that's going on in the political realm is the same thing that they hated about Christians. It's just a question of time. It's just a question of time. Once the political realm is solidified, as it looks like it's going to be, then they're going to start going after those churches that don't agree with them. Verse 25, then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. Now again, that's just an illustration of Moses' law. But the law of Christ is far greater than that. In Micah chapter 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and here's the part I want to talk about, to walk humbly with your God. Now, I walk humbly with God when I say, Jesus is my Lord, and he decrees what I believe. He decrees what I practice. He decrees what I teach, and he decrees my opinions and my attitudes and my feelings toward what's going on in Washington or what's going on here in Denver with the political situations here, the laws that are being passed, what's going on in the news cycle and what the news people are teaching and what they're trying to accomplish regarding our views on these things. And there's a great battle going on, even in Hollywood right now. The battle is going on regarding these people. The people that the scriptures condemn are presented as the heroes, and the people that the scriptures uphold are presented as the villains. And that's just the way that the culture is going. And so it's my intention in the next few months to preach a lesson on persecution, because I think we're going to need it. I think we're going to need to start gearing up for this. I think that we're going to have to start realizing that times are changing, and that the only way we're going to avoid stigma, the only way we're going to avoid being looked down upon, is by keeping our mouth shut. And we cannot do that. We cannot hide our light. We have to let our light shine. So as we conclude our lesson this morning, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, and so I'm going to say today to those Americans who believe on him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will make you free. If there's anything in the scriptures we find we don't agree with anymore, we find that they're too confining, or they're cruel. God is cruel. Why can't he allow these people who are born with these problems, or these problems come into their life? Why can't he allow them to fix these things? And when we start thinking like that, it's a downward spiral that's going to end in the loss of our soul. And so, brethren, as we pick up the song of encouragement this morning, we need to give careful thought to the words of the message and whether they apply to us or not. Maybe we have been smart enough and wise enough not to allow the evil companionship of our entertainment, of our news media, and of our politicians to infiltrate our mind. And even the school system. The school system has gone in the same direction. They're all pushing a certain agenda right now called political correctness. And there are certain aspects of political correctness I could care less about. But there are other aspects of political correctness that are unscriptural. And they're anti-Christ. They are opposed to Christ, and they're opposed to the apostles. And they are going to bring ruin down on the country and on us if we don't oppose them. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this morning, we all need to ask ourselves whether or not we've been influenced by this. Whether evil companionship has corrupted our good morals. Whether we are starting to shift in our allegiance from Jesus and his apostles to the false teachers who have now infiltrated not just denominations, but also the television networks, our newscasters, our teachers, our politicians, our entertainers. They're all combining together to bring down what the scriptures teach on some very critical elements regarding the truth. And so if we can help you in any way this morning, if you need to confess your sins, or if you just need to start becoming aware and start watching and thinking about these things, but if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.